Testament, 1 Samuel. Somebody, right quick, has just a word of testimony, and you'll stand up and give it before I read Scripture tonight. Anybody? I don't always do that. Go ahead, Brother Tom.
I just want to thank God He saved me.
Amen. Yeah.
He's 80 years old, and he's getting ready to go home and be with the Lord. So y'all pray with him. When I've been praying with him, he'd say, "Amen, amen." He's ready to get out of here.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But I'm looking forward to getting out of here one day, go home and be with Jesus, and just have a wonderful time.
Amen. Amen. I've got here two CDs left of that Raising Kyle testimony. If you have not heard it yet, I'd strongly recommend every parent and every young person too in here listen to this CD. I'm giving, if you want them, they're right here after church, and we can make some more if we need more. If you have not listened to that CD on Raising Kyle, every parent with a child needs to know what you're up against in this generation. And it's not like it used to be. And so if you haven't heard that testimony of old Andy Fox down here in Hickory, get that CD, Raising Kyle. He's just an old country boy, and it's a testimony that everybody in here desperately needs to hear. Also, I mentioned this morning that we're in need of some help with the buses, bus workers, bus drivers, all the time. Money for buses. We got two bad tires right now, need to be replaced, about $500. If somebody wants to help, please let me know. And we're going to try to do that real soon and keep everything else going too. So I hope that you'll help out. And if the Lord sticks your heart on that a little bit, I appreciate you doing that. 1 Samuel chapter 17 this evening. I'll read a verse of Scripture here. And these are things that you should already know. But I'm going to just nail them down. I got a deck at my house outside my bedroom. And it's been there over 20 years. It's made out of salt-treated wood. And every once in a while, after sun and cold and heat and water and ice, them boards will start just bending up like that. And like they pull the nails out a little bit. And I just take my hammer out there and go, bang, bang, and knock them back down. And that's the way preaching is. Every once in a while, you just have to go around and go, bam, bam, and knock down things that's already there and just tighten them back up a little bit. So that's what I'd like to do this evening. 1 Samuel 17, this is the story of David and the giant. And David was getting ready to fight that giant, and they told him he couldn't do it because he's too little. And he told them this. Look at verse number 29. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason, King Saul?" That's what he was saying. You know what David was saying? He was saying, look here, King. There's a bigger reason than just me and you. This is bigger than Philistines and Israelites. This is bigger than just one man fighting another man. There's an overall greater cause in what we're doing. We're a little part of a big fight. And he said, there's a cause for what I'm doing. Now, I'd like to say that to us tonight. We are not just a little group of people stuck over here on the hill in Morgan, North Carolina, on the side of the interstate. We are a part of a long history of people of God that have fought the battles of the Lord and stood for that book and what Jesus Christ stands for. And so everything that we do, when I'm up here on Sunday morning, I am in a long line back behind me of men who stood and preached. And I can't drop the ball. And we can't let them down. We can't let those men go through what they went through in all those other generations and us just flub the dub, like my mom used to say, here in this generation. We've got to finish. We've got to carry the ball across the goal line. We've got to do our part. There is a cause. This is no time to quit. This is no time to back up like I talked about this morning. Now I want to say just a few things about it this evening. And I want to talk about it, about there's a cause. Well, and the first thing I want to say is there's a cause for old-fashioned Bible preaching. Old-fashioned Bible preaching. Now we're living in a generation that thinks that preach is a bad word. As a matter of fact, people say, don't preach to me, don't preach to me. But you fail to remember that Jesus Christ was a preacher. And Jesus, the greatest man that's ever lived on this earth, said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach. So there's nothing wrong with preaching. And people get together and they say, now young people, we're not going to preach to you. Well, that's a big mistake. Because young people need to be preached to, just like you old people, just like me. Everybody in here needs the devil preached out of them at least twice a week. Right? Does he need it, wives? That's my fault. Does he need it? She need a husband? Yes, sir. Everybody in here needs some old leather-lung redneck preacher just to get up and just blast you two or three times a week just to keep you straight in this generation. It's good for you. It's good for you. I've heard people, one man told me after I'm married one time, he said, I'm an adult. Don't scream at me. And you know what he was showing? He was showing that somebody needs to be screaming at him. He's a little spoiled brat that ought to be in trouble and is in trouble with the Lord. One time years ago, we was visiting up in Marion and went up to his house, knocked on this door, and we went down, you know, here I was the pastor of the downtown church, you know, and the big shot reverend, and I was trying to make a good impression. We sat down with this lady and we said, we really would like for you to come to our church. And she looked at me and she said, I want to ask you one question. I said, sure, what's that? She said, do you yell when you preach? Which is a stupid question, really. Is that not the dumbest question you ever heard in your life? Do you yell when you preach? Duh, that's the meaning of the word. That's like saying, do you move when you walk? Well, of course you do. You nut. I mean, you do yell when you preach. I mean, that's what preach means. Isaiah 58 verse 1 said, the Bible said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice, like that. And show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. And so I looked at her and I said, yeah, I do. And she said, I can't stand it. And she said, it's on my nerves. I can't stand somebody screaming up. And so I said, well, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, ma'am. I said, ma'am, you go to ball games? She said, yes. I said, well, don't they scream there? And she said, yes, but it's different. Yeah, I bet it is, Noah. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. It ain't us screaming and hollering that bothers people. It's what we're screaming. That's what they don't like. Ain't that right? Screaming no more. Lord have mercy, I've seen them game shows. I mean, where the guy get on there and he'll say, all right, old Susie Q, we drawed your name. Susie Q, come on down. And oh my goodness, you would have thought they've won the lottery. They scream. They jump up and down. You talk about fanatic. Don't talk to me about us being fanatic. I mean, Susie Q's sitting way back here somewhere. She jumps up like this. Just like that on national TV. Ain't that right? She ain't even won nothing. They just called her name. Chill out, sister. You might have a heart attack. And they worry about us being too emotional, see. They worry about, let me tell you something, buddy. She kissed old Bob Barker, remember him? Lord, his jaw's been kissed more than St. Peter's toe over in Rome. Mind you, they probably made out of Bondo. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, they holler at a ball game, they holler on TV, they holler at a concert, they holler out that country music award. Here we sit here tonight, our name is in the book of life. We got a heaven up there that we're going to go to and live forever. There's a hell down there if we ain't going. You better believe me and you got something to shout about. Amen. We have an old-time gospel preaching. Nowadays they want you to speak or rap. One time when I got through preaching, one time this woman came up and said, I enjoyed your speech. That hurt my feelings bad. I said, all right, bless God, come back tomorrow night. I ain't going to give no speech tomorrow night. I'm not speeching, I'm preaching. The Lord didn't say go into all the world and speech the gospel. He said go into all the world and preach
the gospel. You know what a preacher does? A preacher stands like a 4-star general in the army giving orders to the troops and rallying the troops. Let's go. Let's get the job done. Let's do what God wants us to do for old time Bible preaching. I've told you before, Abraham Lincoln said, he said, when I go hear a man preach, I want him to preach like he's fighting a swarm of bees. What the president said. Do you reckon Obama's pastor preaches like he's fighting a swarm of bees? Man said, Abraham Lincoln said, when I go hear a preacher, I want him to preach just like he's fighting bees. Now think about that. Let's say tonight that up underneath this pulpit here this evening, there was one of them big old hornet's nests, about that big. I had one at my house. I mean, it looked like one of them old Church of God hairdos. I mean, stick it way up there like that right there, and it's got big killer hornets coming in and out of it. And it's going in, and all of a sudden, while I was preaching, I just hit that thing with my knee, and all them hornets come out around my head. Do you honestly think that I would stand here and I'd say, brethren, it seems that my knee has invaded the feeble shrine of these precious creatures that God has created. No, I wouldn't act some fool thing like that. Listen, brother, I stuck my knee in there and I've been doing just like that right there. And brother, I'd be fighting them. I'd be doing like this and getting away from them. And that's how Abraham Lincoln said, a man ought to preach. I'm telling you, what's this world starving for tonight? We don't need another seminar on how to figure out stuff. We need some old men of God that'll stand up and say, this is what God said. Thus saith the Lord. This is the way. Walk therein. And people don't like that because people don't like authority. People don't like somebody preaching to them. But the Bible says, preach the word. Amen. I like what old Uncle Bud Robinson said. He said, I'm going to fight the devil as long as I've got fists. He said, I'm going to kick the devil as long as I've got feet. He said, I'm going to bite the devil as long as I've got teeth. And he said, when I get old and my fists won't work and my foot won't go in place and my teeth are gone, I'm going to gun him till I die. And he goes home to hell and I go home to be with the Lord. That's what the old preacher said. You know why I got to keep preaching? Because we are in a long succession. You do realize that what I'm doing tonight is dying out in our country. You do realize that, don't you? You do understand that it's hard. Oh, you can go to churches that have nice buildings and lots of money and everything's perfect, but it's hard to find old-fashioned, straight Bible preaching with compassion and power. That's what we're starving for in our generation. You know what's the best? I heard people say, well, what do you have for young people? Preaching. What do you got for America? Preaching. It'll help us better than anything else will. Old-fashioned Bible preaching will help a youth group better than anything, any activity you can do. Old-fashioned Bible preaching will help marriages be stronger than anything you can do for a marriage. Say amen right there. That's right. What about that guy that said he's over in the old country and some guy, he's up there just dead, it's 4:00. He was sitting there and some guy way up there on the balcony, he said, I say, old brother, could you speak up? We can't hear you. And he went on saying, the Lord is good and everyone is wonderful and God loves everybody and there's no problems and we all love God, we all love the devil. Well, you know how they are. About 5 minutes later, that guy stood up and he said, I say, old chap, could you speak up just a tad? We can't hear you. And he went on like that. And finally, the guy stood up again. He said, I say, dear brother, could you speak up? And finally, some guy down here on the front turned around and said, hey, man, thank God you came here. Sit down, son. That's what people got to listen to nowadays. I'd hate to have to listen to what some people hear on Sunday. I really would. Lord, I turn them TV preachers on. I never seen those bunch of nuts in my life. I mean, how in the world they get on TV blows my mind. I seen a guy on there one time talking to money. He was talking to money. He got on the radio and he's going, I tell you, pray God, I command you $20 bill. I command you money. I said, do you think that money can hear you? He's talking to money. Man, crazy. Money can't hear. It can talk, but it can't hear. Amen. You know what we got to give this generation of young people? We got something to give them that the world can't give them. And that's the best thing we can give them. I've been in this a long time, but I know what permanently changes lives. And ain't nothing can permanently change a life like a man getting up and preaching that book. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It'll get down in your heart and make you believe it. There ain't nothing in the world can change you more than that can. I'm telling you, this world's starving for old-fashioned Bible preaching. By the way, this preaching is a lot harder than it looks like. Some of you people sit there and you think, well, I mean, my girls used to do it. They're the work, two of them sitting over there right now. And they say, Daddy, you said this. And I said, no, I didn't. Yeah, you did. No, I didn't. When they ever started taping all the messages, they'd play them back to me, you know. And, you know, stand up here. I dare anybody in here to stand up here for 30 minutes and scream and holler and keep your thoughts straight and don't get your thing tangled up. One time. It's a lot harder than you think it is. Way harder. I meet some of these guys in town. One guy meet me uptown, he said, boy, you preachers got it made. Don't work but one day a week. Yeah, that's what it is right there, boy. That ain't orange juice I spilled on my shirt before I started tonight. They didn't tell you tonight, brother, preaching, it's a lot harder than you think it is. It's easy to get all messed up. It's easy to get your thoughts in. I heard about this guy got up, and he was all excited. He said, praise God, people. He said, we got a crowd here today. He said, if the Lord keeps a blessing, we're going to have to big a builder digging. He didn't even realize what he said. And you know, the best way to do is when you mess up like that is to just keep going. They tell you that when you mess up like that, you go back and try it again. But right, one guy got up. He's going to preach the greatest sermon in the world on the second coming. He hadn't been saved very long, been preaching long. He's going to preach the greatest sermon ever preached on the second coming of Jesus. And boy, he got up there, you know. And it, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but when you get in front of a crowd, it does something to your memory. Your memory really, really leaves you if you're not careful. It's got to click like that, you know, and just keep coming. And you know what? He stood up there that night and he began to preach. And that old boy, he thought, I'm going to preach on the coming of the Lord. And he said, behold, I come quickly. And his mind went blank. Complete blank. He thought, oh my goodness. What am I going to say? He said, they taught me back in school that if you ever forget what you're going to say, you just back up and say that same thing again. And then maybe by the time you say it again, you can figure out, you know, where he was and you can keep going. So he said, behold, I come quickly. And still, his mind was a blank. He couldn't remember nothing. He started getting more nervous. And the more nervous you get, the worse your memory works. And he said, I'll say it with emphasis. So he walks around like this, and he slings his leg out, and he said, behold, I come quickly. And when he does, he flipped over the flowers and fell down right into the lap of this lady sitting on the front row. And she had him like his little baby like that. And he said, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me. And she said, that's all right, son. You told me three times you was coming, and I didn't listen to you. That's what I'm saying. That's when the Lord's coming. You know what? He said, behold, I come quickly. People ain't listening. The Lord said, behold, I come quickly. People ain't listening. He said, behold, I come quickly. People ain't listening. Now, I'm telling you, he's coming, people. He's coming. And that's why we need old-fashioned Bible preaching. Amen. You know why the devil don't like preaching? And you know why the world don't like preaching? Because it'll set the church on fire. You ever been to a church fired up? I have. We ever seen them fire? Yes, sir. I said one time, a little bitty country church is way up on top of this hill. And nobody hardly went to it. And one day it caught on fire. And it was burning up. And everybody was taking buckets of water and running up the hill to put the fire out. And it just so happened that the church deacon and the town atheist was running right side by side. They was both running up through there with their buckets of water. And the deacon looked over to the atheist and said, first time I ever seen you running church, ha ha. And the deacon said, first time I ever seen church on fire. That's something to think about, isn't it? You know why folks don't run the church? No fire! No fire! I'm telling you tonight, I'm planning on lighting a fire underneath you. I want a fire to burn. I want the fire to burn. God give us a fire. God keep the fire. I want to go to church where there's some fire in the pulpit. And it'll get out in the pews once in a while. Say amen right there. That's right. I got a guy, I got up one time, he's all, so you got to realize, preacher's human, you know. He said, all right, every eye bowed and every head shut. Everybody's sitting there and their shoulders just bouncing up and down like that. You might as well just. One guy came to us one time, he said, excuse me, ma'am, you're occupying the wrong pie. And she looked at me and said, what is it? May I sew you to another sheet? That's messed up, ain't it? May I sew you to another sheet? But listen, you hear me tonight? That's what old-time preaching will do for you. It'll help you. It'll help you grow. It'll help you stay straight. It'll keep you in line. We are starving for old-fashioned Bible preaching. I've made my share of mistakes. I have. But I tell you, I like that old Church of God preacher got up one time. He said, glory to God. He said, the Holy Ghost is here. He said, the Lord told us to cast out the sick, heal the dead, and raise the devil. He said, let's get busy and do what God called us to do. We're starving for old-fashioned preaching. Number two, quickly this evening. There's a cause to preserve our nation's Christian heritage. We have a Christian heritage in America tonight that the devil and the liberals and the left-wingers and the liberal arts people are trying their best to erase from our history and our mind. To go to a secular college now, you would think there wasn't a Christian in the bunch of our forefathers, and you wouldn't think God had anything to do with the beginning of this thing, but it did. I'm getting ready to go preach up in Maryland here in a few weeks, and it's not far from Washington, D.C. And sometimes when I go up there, not every year, I go to the Capitol building, and I look at this building, and that big old building's up there, man. Them things are old. And a big, and every one of them's got scripture carved out in big old letters, that deep in rock, right out of that Bible. Not out of the NIV, that Bible right there. And the King James Bible. And buddy, our country was founded upon the principles of what they call Judeo-Christian philosophy and belief. And tonight, we're living in a time when people are trying to tell us on the news that there's no difference. All religions in the world are the same. Islam and Christianity are the same. Just all one God. Just different paths to get to the same God. And that is a lie. That is not the truth. Young people, Jesus said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father except by me. If a man says all religions are the same, he's calling Jesus a liar. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but through me. And if he was lying, all religions are one good as the other. But if he's telling the truth, they're false religions that try to get to God some other way. Ladies and gentlemen, we are to preserve America's Christian heritage. We are still tonight one nation under God. Christopher Columbus, quote, here's something you won't hear at school, kids, unless you go to a Christian school and you don't get the full education in regular, in public school. It says this, Christopher Columbus, quote, it was the Lord who put it into my head and heart. I could feel His hand upon me. There is no doubt that the inspiration came from the Holy Spirit. That's a quote from Christopher Columbus. And on and on and on and on, our fathers that built this country made quotes out of that book that'll keep this nation in the right direction. And that's why we have the flag over there. And that's why we have the Christian flag in here. We serve God under a Christian flag. We are American under that flag. And America has been blessed by God. Don't you let them turn your back on America. It's not the best. We ain't in the best shape we've ever been in, but it's still the best place. Listen, over in Iraq tonight, there's thousands of Christians up on top of that mountain. If they come down, they cut their heads off. If they convert to Islam, they have to deny God. If they stay up there, they starve to death. You ought to be thankful for North Carolina, I think. You ain't got it quite as bad as you thought you had. Thank God we live in America. Thank God. Let me give you a couple of quotes right quick. Have a little history lesson here tonight, okay? Amen. Head church ain't the place where you have to learn history all the time, but it's the only place you're about to hear it right anymore. George Washington, quote, religion and morality are indispensable supports of the United States. Quote, George Washington, quote, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Where's our congressman? Where's our senators? Where's the president? Where's the politician? It is impossible, Washington said, to rightly govern this world without God and this book right here. Abraham Lincoln, quote, "The Bible is the best gift God's ever given to man." Andrew Jackson, quote, "That book is the rock on which our republic rests." John Quincy Adams, quote, "So great is my veneration respect to the Bible that the sooner my children begin to read it, the more respectable members of society they'll become." As time went on, morals changed. The human heart degenerates. And on June 26, 1962, the Supreme Court voted overwhelmingly to put out God and the prayer in our public schools. The schools were told no Bible, no prayer at the ball game. One of them went to a ball game one time, and the valedictorian got up or something like that, and they wasn't allowed to say God or anything like that, so the valedictorian got up and got the microphone and went, "Ha! And they all said, "God bless you!" Had to sneak it in there a little bit. Let them even say God. Isn't that pitiful? That's the way it's supposed to be. Kids were told no prayer at ball games. A few years later, the Beatles came. We said no to God. Our president got shot down there in Dallas, Texas, right there in late 62, 63, 64. And everything went downhill ever since. Rape, robbery, divorce, drugs, crime went skyrocketing immediately. And we kicked God out of our public life. Now we kill 4,000 babies a day by abortion. You hear them all the time. 4,000. Over 50 million babies have been murdered since Roe versus Wade. You hear it debated. I'll turn on the news sometime and you got somebody in there saying, "Well, we don't really know if it's a child and all that." You know why they say that? They're ignorant of the Bible. I can tell you what the Bible says. I can tell you what the Bible said in Luke chapter 2. The Bible said about Elizabeth and it said about Mary. When she was pregnant, it said she was great with child. The Holy Ghost called an unborn baby a child. It don't matter what a congressman says. It don't matter what some hippie saying out there that wants to legalize pot and stay high all the time, not work. It don't matter what some retard from Las Vegas tries to tell you to make money off the abortion industry. I'm telling you, God said it. It was a child. And if it's a child, murder to kill it. That ain't going to get you very far in these days, but it's a truth, and the truth will stand when this world's on fire. In 1980, MTV came out. Cable TV. Then satellite. In the 90s, then the internet. In the year 2000 came, and I passed right on through all that mess, buddy. When the internet came out, our nation took a downward spiral even again. And it's got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm telling you, we're here tonight, Shining Light Baptist Church. We got to keep them buses running. We got to do our job. We got to preach and pray and stay true to what God said, because there is a call. These little kids is up here saying, "Listen, what's the world going to be like when they get big? Who's going to preach when they get big? Who's going to have the power of God?" That's why mamas have them in there. That's why you mamas ought to let them see you praying and read the Bible. Somebody got to carry on if Jesus don't come back. Quickly. Politics. Somebody asked me one time, they said, "What's politics mean?" I said, and it's just come to me. It was a long time ago. I said, "You know, I don't know. But I've been taught that you break words down to me." And I said, "Poly, I know what poly means. Poly means plural, a bunch of, like polygamy. Poly. And I know what a tick is. It's a bloodsucker." "Many bloodsuckers." "I don't know, that's what I thought. You tell me what it means. That'll work on it." Number three, let me say this tonight. We have a cause to reach families that are crumbling. The divorce rate now over 65%. When you go to the marriage altar now, there's a 2 out of 3 chance your marriage won't last. That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. And kids' lives are being torn apart. I'm not fussing at you if you've been through it. I know what it's like. I've been down these roads. I know all this stuff. But I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time when we need to preach the unity and the sanctity of the home and the husband and the wife so that kids can grow up. They got a lot better chance growing up with a real mama and a real daddy in God's house serving the Lord. If you've been through it, I ain't fussing at you. If you, it can't help it. If it happens, it happens. You just make the best you can. And if you got a, if you're in a home where the wife has left, or you're in a home where the husband has left, you do the best you can and God will bless you. And help you. But listen, TV ain't strengthening the family. Every TV show you turn on nowadays almost makes it a mockery.
That's right.
To stay married and be faithful to your mate. Amen? That's right. Families that are crumbling. I heard about the police raided this party. And everybody was drunk and on pills and out of their mind. They had took a 22-month-old baby. It had been stabbed a bunch of times, partly dismembered. I told you about Linda, my cousin, Linda Hout. She's gone home with the Lord now, and she kept foster kids. And she said, Danny, you wouldn't believe it. She said, when we get these kids, some people take just right around here and marry them. Said people run a bathtub full of hot water, scalding water, and set them kids, babies, in that water. Said people put them in microwaves, try to cook them. That's crazy. That's demonic that we're living. And listen, the best thing can happen to a child. The best thing can happen to a little boy, a little girl, is for mama and daddy to love Jesus and love each other and take them to church and let them know there's somebody out there bigger than us that cares about us and accept. It doesn't matter if you're ugly. It doesn't matter if you're not as talented. It doesn't matter if you're not as pretty as the other girls at school. He loves you the same and cares about you. That's what this world's starving for and needs. The world puts a premium. You have to be good looking or pretty or rich or they don't have no use for you. And I will tell you, we come to church here, buddy, the ground's level. We're all just sinners that need help from Jesus. I'll say one more thing and I'm through. You know why there's a cause? There's a cause because there's a hell. There's a hell. If this were not true, it wouldn't be so important. Thousands of hours, thousands of dollars are spent every Sunday in the world that we live on keeping people out of hellfire. A man told me, he said, I don't believe in hell, but he believes in heaven. The same Bible tells us there's a heaven. He said, I believe God is too good to let somebody go to hell. Well, let me ask you this. Why would he let dogs like us go to heaven? That's not fair either. It's not fair we get to go to heaven. Listen, God never made hell for people. The Bible said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. If you go to hell, you'll be an intruder. You're going against the plan of God for your life. Jesus died so you wouldn't have to go to hell. I'll never forget hearing this story. Now, this boy and girl, and they were dating. I think she's about 17, boy's about 19. He went, caught her out of school one day, and they got a bottle of wine and took off to somewhere down in Florida. And they started drinking that wine. That's what the devil wants you to do, young people. If he can get you to take alcohol or smoke pot the first time, it's opening the door to all the other sins that he's got for you out there. And buddy, that girl and that boy got out there and they got to drinking. That boy lost his judgment, become marred, you know, just a little. All it takes is a little bit of alcohol and your judgment is off. More than you think it is. Your reflexes slow down. And that's why God said, wine is a mocker. And whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. He can trick you. He's going to trick you. And so they went and got this wine, and he got a little buzz off of it, and is flying around it, and flipped that car and went over a bridge and up that and went into that water. And somebody saw it and called the paramedics, and they rushed over there, and the ambulances and the police cars, and everybody was running, and they got down in there and hooked cables to that car and pulled that thing out. And that boy and girl were in that car drowned. And they said that boy had his hand clutched around that doorknob, like trying to get out. I'm trying to get out. I'm trying to get out. But it was too late. You know what? That's a picture. That's a picture of our whole society of teenagers. They're locked at that door saying, I want out. I want out. I want out. I don't have no peace. Science, education, religion will not give you peace. The only way you're going to have peace is come through that door. Get through that door. And Jesus said, I am that door. That's why we preach. That's why we have church. That's why we come back on Sunday night on an old rainy evening like this, ugly, because we know deep, deep down inside there's something bigger than just me and you. It's God. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a minute tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed in respect and honor to the Lord tonight.